And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Countries around the world are preparing for Christmas with drive-through markets, live-streamed nativity plays, and socially distant visits to Santa's grotto, among growing concerns that household transmission is a key driver of COVID transmission. In the UK, restrictions will be eased for 5 days over the festive season, allowing up to 3 households to celebrate together, while visits to Father Christmas will remain a firm fixture, with Santa's grottos to open across all tiers, though perching on Santa's lap is off the cards. Socially distanced door-to-door carol singing will also be allowed. New guidance published on Sunday has revealed, but those in Tier 3 will have to live stream or watch a recording of school nativity plays. Similar initiatives have been introduced across Europe and the globe to safely celebrate what will be, in President Emmanuel Macron's words, a Christmas not like others. This is no time for complacency, especially with the holiday season approaching in many cultures and countries, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, Director General of the World Health Organization, added at a press conference on Monday. We all want to be together with the people we love during festive periods, but we all need to consider whose life we might be gambling with in the decisions we make, he said. The warning comes as the French government announced it will ease a curfew and allow bars and restaurants to open on Christmas and New Year's Eve, while Belgian households will be able to meet 1 extra person, though fireworks will be banned. Spain is set to allow groups of up to 10 people to gather on 5 public holidays, including Christmas Day and the Feast of Epiphany on January the 6th. A curfew will be extended to 1:30 a.m. on these days, and Mass will be allowed without hymns. Churches will also remain open in Italy, where local media has reported that people will be asked to follow the rule of 6, but legal limits will not be introduced. Debates about whether to open ski slopes, however, are becoming increasingly frosty. Meanwhile, in Germany, where some towns have adopted drive-through Christmas markets, a separate row over festive exemptions is brewing. Angela Merkel is reportedly concerned that regional governments will allow hotels to open to allow far-flung families to meet. The Chancellor fears that northern and western states, where the epidemic is less severe, will see COVID numbers spiral as a result. US government scientist Dr. Anthony Fauci has warned Americans to brace for a surge upon a surge of COVID-19 in the coming weeks after more than 9 million people travelled across the country last week to celebrate Thanksgiving with family and friends. In Canada, authorities are already struggling to contain a resurgence of COVID following Thanksgiving in mid-October. At that point, daily new infections hovered at around 2,000. But 6 weeks later, this figure is edging towards 6,000. Government modelling predicts the country could see 20,000 daily cases by the end of the year. There are growing concerns that Christmas will trigger a similar rise in the UK, especially as no nationwide travel limits will be in place when restrictions are eased between the 23rd and 27th of December. This means visitors from high-prevalence regions could seed infections in areas such as Cornwall and the Isle of Wight, where COVID rates are low. The Christmas present we are going to get is not the one we need. We will get a surge of cases in the new year, said Dr. Julian Tang, a consultant virologist at Leicester Royal Infirmary, he told The Telegraph. If we get down to 5,000 to 10,000 cases a day by Christmas, you might see a doubling of that after Christmas, he said, adding that the furore over tiers misses the longer-term benefits to this approach. The point is that if you're in a higher tier, hopefully you can come out by Christmas and not worry so much about circulation of COVID during that 5-day amnesty, Professor Tang said. As a result, we would hopefully not see such a massive surge in the new year. He added that he would be seeing family over Zoom this Christmas due to concerns about the risks of household transmission. If I infected my parents, I would regret it for the rest of my life. It would be very short-sighted and avoidable. According to an analysis of transmission rates published by Imperial College on Friday, prolonged contact in households and in settings with familiar close contacts increases the potential for transmission of SARS-CoV-2. The paper, which examined 45 studies from across the globe, concluded that the chance of infecting another individual at home stands at 21%. The secondary attack rate at a social event, by contrast, is around 6%. But in a finding that could be significant for families preparing to bubble over Christmas, the team concluded that the chance of one household member infecting another is significantly higher when exposure is longer than 5 days, suggesting shorter meetups are safer. The report reinforces growing evidence of the importance of household transmission, said Professor Neil Ferguson, the epidemiologist whose modelling led to the first UK lockdown. He added that the paper provided some of the first evidence that symptomatic infections are substantially less infectious than symptomatic cases, with the likelihood of an asymptomatic individual infecting a close contact around 3.5% compared to 12.8% for a symptomatic case. But despite the risks and restrictions, many across the globe remain adamant that festive fever will not be extinguished. In the traditional birthplace of Jesus, Bethlehem, most inns are closed, the shepherds are under lockdown, and there are few visitors from the East or anywhere else. But Mayor Anton Salmon defiantly told Reuters, as workers behind him erected a huge Christmas tree in Manger Square, that Christmas will not be cancelled. This Christmas in Bethlehem, there will be a message of hope to the whole world, that the world will recover from this pandemic, he said. And the restrictions across the globe. Belgium. Households will only be able to be in close contact with one extra person over Christmas, Prime Minister Alexander De Croo has said. People living on their own will be able to meet two others. Fireworks will be banned on New Year's Eve to limit gatherings, and foreign travel strongly discouraged. France. President Emmanuel Macron said the government has decided to allow people to travel from December the 15th, including the end-of-year holidays, if coronavirus cases drop to around 5,000 new cases per day. In Ireland, three households will be allowed to meet between December the 18th and January 6th, Prime Minister Michael Martin said. The countrywide travel ban will be lifted for that period. In Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel has agreed with leaders of Germany's 16 states to extend and tighten the coronavirus lockdown until December the 20th, but to ease rules over the Christmas holidays to let families and friends celebrate together. Up to 10 people will be allowed to gather, not counting children. Poland. The Polish government said no more than 5 people could be invited to one household according to the new set of rules, which are to last until December the 27th. It also said there will be no more senior hours on December the 24th, which currently allow only seniors to shop between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. In Spain, full restrictions are yet to be finalised, but the government has proposed that groups of up to 10 from 3 households can gather on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and Feast of the Epiphany on January the 6th. A curfew extended from midnight to 1:30 a.m. on said days, while mass will be allowed, but no hymns. In Italy, like Spain, full restrictions have not yet been drawn up, but it is expected that the government will not set a legal limit on Christmas gatherings, instead recommending that people avoid gatherings outside their households and respect the rule of 6. Churches are likely to remain open, but there is no guarantee the nationwide curfew will lift. In Austria, lockdown will last until December the 6th, and the government has announced a mass testing program over the next few weeks to allow more families to reunite over the Christmas season. In Canada, it's not yet clear whether the federal government will introduce national restrictions, with a patchwork of measures currently in place across provinces. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has said he does not want to bring the federal hammer down on state governments, but insisted the prospect of a normal Christmas this year is right out of the question. Public health experts have urged people to celebrate outdoors or virtually. Australia and New Zealand. In Australia, 3,000 people can attend outdoor events, meaning that Sydney's famous New Year's Eve fireworks can go ahead, although some of the prime vantage points will be reserved for key workers. Choirs of up to 30 people will be allowed to perform, however, anyone singing in the audience will be required to wear a mask. Restrictions on the number of people that can gather indoors vary from state to state, but most are restricted to between 15 and 30 people. Pubs, restaurants and cafes can open across the country, with many restricted to one person per 4 meter square. it looks like a travel corridor between Australia and New Zealand will no longer be open for Christmas, as Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said they have adopted differing strategies to curb COVID. New Zealand is trying to eliminate the virus while Australia is suppressing it. For Kiwis, though, Christmas will look much like normal as restrictions have been lifted almost entirely. In Lebanon, the country has eased lockdown this week in a bid to revive its struggling economy in the lead up to Christmas and offer a respite for the public. Restaurants can open at 50% capacity, but bars and nightclubs will remain closed and weddings prohibited, while an overnight curfew will start from 11 p.m. instead of 5 p.m. In Venezuela, strict nationwide quarantine measures and curfews imposed on border towns will be lifted throughout the entirety of December for social and economic activity to recommence. They will resume in January, but mask wearing, social distancing and mandatory quarantine for those entering the country will remain in place. And finally, in the Philippines, partial coronavirus restrictions will remain in the capital region until the end of the year, with the government urging Filipinos to limit Christmas gatherings to immediate family members to prevent a post-holiday surge in cases. Christmas parties and carol singing are also considered mass gatherings and therefore prohibited. Community spirit has decreased during the second lockdown, with millions fewer people helping their neighbours than before, according to research. Social sector support charity Pro Bono Economics found that the surge in community spirit seen at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic is starting to flag. It found that 6 million fewer people in England have volunteered during the second lockdown compared to the first. Around 12 million people have volunteered since the start of October, compared to 18 million during the first lockdown. 84% of people in the UK believe charities play an important role in society, but 57% say charities are understaffed, the research showed. A further 35% of people believe charities are wasteful, and 31% say there are too many charities in Britain. The data was published last Monday to mark the start of a major two-year commission on the future of civil society. Lord Gus O'Donnell, the former Cabinet Secretary who is chairing the commission, said, "At the start of this crisis, the nation's spirits were lifted by the multiple acts of kindness we saw, but that spirit is rapidly ebbing away." The spending review spelled out how the economy and public services are expected to evolve, but said little about the role of the civic sector. If we are to build back better and level up, we need urgently to unleash the full potential of this vital sector. The charity, which surveyed 2,000 people, said that there had been a surge in people offering to help others in need, both through charities and within their neighbourhoods, when the pandemic began. The research suggests 18 million people in England help friends or neighbours with tasks such as shopping and dog walking during the first lockdown, but 6 million fewer have volunteered or supported their neighbours during the second, with only 26% having done so since the start of October. This is despite the need for community action remaining high, with Office for National Statistics measures of acute loneliness reaching peak levels since March at the start of November. Priests have been warned not to make indecent, vulgar or sexual remarks on social media in new guidelines unveiled by the Catholic Church. The guidelines, pastoral standards and safe practices in the conduct of ministry, which have been sent to every bishop, secular and religious priest and deacon, set out how to guard against abuse and recognise it when it occurs. It comes following a damning report published by the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse, the IICSA, which found that Cardinal Vincent Nicholls, the Pope's representative in England and Wales, failed to show personal responsibility and compassion for child sex abuse victims and instead focused on church reputation. An inquiry has been concluded. However, the guidance also focuses on clergy behaviour online, particularly on social media. Drawn up by the Catholic bishops of England and Wales, the guidelines state, "Never make disparaging remarks about children or adults at risk, neither in private conversation, public discourse, nor on social media." The guidelines go into more detail about acceptable behaviour on new forms of communication, stating, use electronic forms of communication and other media respectfully, responsibly, and transparently. That means priests must never invite children or adults at risk or accept invitations from them to be friends or contacts on any personal social media sites they use or otherwise interact with them on those sites. In 2007, the Cumberledge Commission report recommended codes of conduct for all clergy, non-clergy religious and lay people working within the Catholic Church. Codes of conduct were provided for non-clergy, religious and lay people, including volunteers. The bishops believe that the code which governs the conduct and all aspects of the life and ministry of priests is the code of canon law. However, in this latest document, the bishops now state that there remains a need for further guidance, training and ongoing formation concerning the conduct of clergy, specifically in relation to their ministry of safeguarding. Clergy must also refrain from communicating with a child on a one-to-one basis via technology or social media, including text messages or email, unless they have first obtained the written consent of that child's parent or legal guardian. The guidelines add, never use profane language or make indecent, vulgar or sexual comments, nor make jests or pranks that could be reasonably perceived as suggestive by others. Our Lord declares that one of the gravest sins is to cause one of his little ones to stumble, to cause them to lose faith. The sexual abuse of a child or an adult at risk constitutes this gravest of sins. Among other actions, the document states, immediately follow the applicable reporting procedures if abuse or neglect is suspected, observed or alleged. Other specifics in the guidelines include an order never to use their status to solicit or obtain any personal benefit or financial advantage. That means priests must refrain from managing the finances and goods of any lay person, especially an adult at risk, without the permission of a bishop. In a foreword to the report, Cardinal Nicholls, Archbishop of Westminster, said, "The pastoral standards presented here arise from the mandate given by the Lord to every ordained minister. They do not come from outside, from another set of standards which are to be imposed on the nature of priestly ministry." He added, "The outlook, expectations and requirements contained in this document spring from the Church's own understanding of the gifts entrusted to her and how they are to be employed. With equal clarity, this document makes plain that which is simply not acceptable, that which is lacks practice, and that which is all too often absent from the daily disciplines of good pastoral care." He added, "I can see how this document will provide a further building block in our response to the scandal of abusive relationships within the community of the Catholic Church, which have damaged so many innocent people. The formation and training that will be constructed from this document will make clear that our work of safeguarding its supervision and its development must be seen as an essential part of the proclamation of the gospel. This aspiration has often been expressed in recent years, but this document shows how it can indeed be fulfilled." The Church of England has been accused of unchristian behaviour and out plunder in a dispute over a former primary school. Residents of Rathmell, a village in the Yorkshire Dales, were outraged when the Leeds Diocese claimed control of property worth up to £1 million. The diocese, which had a £3 million black hole in its finances 2 years ago, says it's free to sell the school, a house on the site, and surrounding land. The church is involved in other disputes in Yorkshire after shutting schools and selling sites to developers. In another case in the Yorkshire Dales, the Leeds Diocese rejected a community bid to develop affordable homes in favour of a higher offer. And a former church school site at Ingleby Arncliffe on the North York Moors may be sold for development into private houses, despite calls from the community for affordable homes to be built. The Rathmell school site, whose classrooms look over fields of sheep and cows in countryside made famous by James Herriot's books, is being used by businesses after villagers converted its classrooms into workshops and offices. Once visited by Diana, Princess of Wales, the school was owned by a charity after being donated by a benefactor in 1716. The church started providing money to run it in 1953. When it closed in 2017 because of falling pupil numbers, North Yorkshire County Council gave the keys to the trustees, who converted it into a community hub. Its rooms are filled with start-up businesses, exercise classes, local parties and events. A legal row broke out when the Leeds Diocese sent letters to trustees disputing their new use for the site and threatening to dispose of the building. The diocese says the charitable assets were donated for religious educational purposes. It added, the trustees of the closed school are not allowed to simply decide that they will use the assets of a charity for a different purpose, no matter how well intentioned. The diocese has applied to the government to allow the charity's assets to be held by the church. Locals fear this means the property will be sold. A villager said last week, this is about only money, I'm afraid. It's certainly not my idea of Christianity. Jackie Franklin, 60, the trust treasurer, said, we've turned it into a really vibrant and happy place where people can come and talk to each other. We've done takeaways between lockdowns for people in the village, and it's been beyond words how valuable it is. I will do everything to make sure that Rathmill School Trust remains for the village in the village, as it always did, as it always should. The Church of England has a national pension deficit of £50 million. Leeds Diocese is liable for £2 million of that. The diocese owns 650 church buildings and 240 schools. Church accounts show the diocese disposed of buildings worth £5.4 million last year. Nick Baines, Bishop of Leeds, said finances are taking a big hit from COVID-19. Collections and income from rent, tourism, weddings and baptisms all stopped. The government is being urged to examine the church's practice of selling properties for the largest profit rather than for the greatest communal benefit. The Upper Dales Community Land Trust offered £150,000 for a primary school to provide urgently needed affordable homes. He said the church sold it to a private developer for £185,000. Leeds Diocese said it was the church's duty to comply with charity law, which meant it had no choice but to sell to the highest bidder. The proceeds of any sale at Rathmill could be reinvested in other schools, it added. And finally, a woman was visiting a church one Sunday. Pastor Jamie's sermon seemed to go on forever, and many in the congregation fell asleep. After the service, to be social, she walked up to a very sleepy-looking man, extended her hand in greeting and said, "Hello, I'm glad it's done." And the man replied, "Yeah, I'm glad it's done too."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.